live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. And today we're going to do something original, something different. We're going to explore the beginnings of a movement. This is a movement that is quickly taking hold throughout the world. It's about walking away. In fact, it's so new that the mainstream media has not focused on it, nor have any of the major political parties or corporate America. But we believe that this is an opportune time to focus for very specific reasons. We're going to discuss today what progressivism truly means and how it could shape our lives for the better, save our planet, address global warming, stop conflict around the world, stop segregation, racism, bigotry. In effect, if we all understood the basis of progressive ideals and spiritual values, we wouldn't have a need for a Me Too movement. After all, we already have laws that protect us from that type of sexual discrimination. They're just simply not applied. And there is no law that's ever going to protect you against an individual who has an intent, a malice, to do something against you. Unfortunately, and to our detriment, restraints and some form of moral balance is lacking, and deterrence is almost non-existent, as we have seen. So something will work, and we'll explain why. First of all, what is progressivism? Today, to call oneself progressive is not to call oneself liberal or democratic. And unfortunately, they have been conflated. Even Tucker Carlson recently talked about the liberal or progressives. And constantly you hear people on the right talk about progressives as if they're liberal. We are not. Many of us grew up democratic and liberal, but through individual evaluations and ascertaining the truth for ourselves, we found that those who were speaking on behalf of corporate liberalism or corporate democratic interest were not telling our story, did not represent our reality. So I want to explain that a progressive is a person who seeks the truth no matter where it is. If you come to some very complex issue in life, and one piece of that complex issue or puzzle holds the truth, then we extract that truth and leave everything else be. It is not our obligation nor our intent to change institutions, to change paradigms, to cause mass critical thought to shift. That is for each individual to choose for themselves or not. And that is why it is frequently confusing, because many of us, myself included, we grew up at a time when the last of the conventional homes in America existed, where my mother, and I'm sure most of your mothers, were there to take care of the home. She dominated that home, made sure we did our homework, made sure that we were up on time, went to school, made sure that we were mannered, made sure that we understood morals and ethics, made sure that we respected our elders, and made sure that we thought well about the consequences of negative actions. Our father was there to implement that, was a guide to what true masculinity should be, and that's frequently where we gained that sense of the masculine and the feminine. The strong, spiritual, unconditional loving of the mother, and the strong deterrence by understanding cause and effect and consequences of the father. Though in a single-parent home, which was rare where I grew up as a baby boomer in the 1950s and 60s, it was mainly families. But then the mother or father, whoever was the dominant person in that house, had to do both of those jobs themselves. As a result, we respected life. You could travel anywhere. Our city parks were never encumbered by litter. We didn't have homelessness. I was a junior deacon in the First Christian Church, and the pastor, who was a young pastor, made it very clear that we, members of our congregation, had a moral responsibility. And he said this: what would Christ do if he came upon this poor person, this homeless person, this cold person, this sick person? What would he do? And that's exactly what we have a moral responsibility to do, nothing less. And he held in contempt and would call out those people who are the hypocrites, who would be at church but not engage in any form of moral, ethical behavior beyond that. And so we all knew in a small town who was living an authentic existence and who was not, and the consequences for it. And so you didn't see people suffering because we got ahead of it. I remember my great aunt Virginia, my father's sister, during the Great Depression, she worked at the Parkersburg National Bank. And one day she was given the terrible choice of letting a lot of people know that their homes were going to be foreclosed on because they were back on their mortgage payments. And she went to the president of the bank and she said, "I will not do this, nor will you do this." "Yeah, well, we have to." She said, "No, we don't have to." She said, "Think of this. These are the very people who sit beside us in church. How could you walk into a church and sit there beside someone who you've deprived of their home for profit? Then you don't belong in that church. So if that's your decision, I will quit, but I will sit with them. You cannot foreclose on them and sit with them." Now, that's a very empowered person. That's how I grew up. That's how you grew up. I've had hundreds of thousands of conversations in my life, and the people that I've met, no matter what their background, ethnicity, their education, we all grew up with pretty much the same basic standards. We didn't have to fear where we walked at night. We provided the moral guidance and the spiritual and physical comforts for people so they didn't need to join a gang. We didn't have such gross income inequality. The person who ran a bank or ran a factory or ran a company also was at our churches. Their kids went to our school. There were no private schools. We knew each other. And we knew there had to be a balance. And there was for nearly 40 years. We've lost that balance. So where I come from, we respect life. All life. No exceptions. We never judge someone based upon the color of their skin or their education or their status in life, whether they're a careerist or, you know, a blue-collar worker, a tradesperson. They are all given the same equal respect. We did not defer to someone because of their wealth, status, or social position. Think how simple it is when you simply respect life. You honor life, not just someone's life, but all life. And we no longer do as a society, individuals do. And that brings us to this concept of, if we no longer find truth, universal truth, personal truths, morality, ethics, health, healing, openness within the corporate Democrat, the corporate Republican, the conservative or liberal communities, then where do we find it? And that has caused enormous angst and frequently hubris, and people have withdrawn their energy, and they're staying in effect in a void. They do not have the support system. They are not with the right ideas, but they know the wrong ideas and they don't want to support that anymore. So I commend those in the beginning of a movement, and I commend, and you're going to hear shortly, the people who are also of a like mind, who are coming forward. You're going to hear a gay person, a woman, and a black person. Historically in our society, at least in the last, the last 50 years, they would not be the first people that we would talk with to unify everyone. That's based upon our limitation and bias. Today, there is no reason that a person, no matter what their background, shouldn't be a leader. Ideas, positive ideas, unifying ideas, harmonizing ideas, are not the proprietary right of one individual or one class. This is not from the elites, the best and brightest from Harvard and Yale and Stanford. This is from anyone who has an idea that we should no longer support what is wrong. Progressive simply means you support and advocate human rights and ethics that respect, honor, and promote the well-being of everyone in society and around the globe. Every person, regardless of gender, race, ethnicity, or sexual orientation, has the right to live a satisfying and healthy life free of any economic, political, or socialized enslavement. Progress is not limited solely to scientific and industrial and technological improvement. If so-called enlightened reason means further stifling people's lives and gross economic inequality, rich versus poor, the socially disenfranchised, fellow members of our society, then it has nothing to do with progressive cause, and hence the Democrats and liberals, corporate liberals, have nothing to do with progressive. Nothing. They're tied in to their own ideologies, and they have so many filters. They have desensitized themselves to any other truth that all they can do is argue in protest. Consequently, progressivism holds all ruling parties and their bureaucracies to task in order to prioritize the public good and to support political parties and movements outside of the status quo of the utterly corrupt, banal two-party system. They do not work on behalf of humanity and universal human values. In the United States, both Democrat and Republicans alike represent a dysfunctional system and have failed dismally to honor their social contract with average Americans. In our postmodern world, progressive thought does not require any party allegiance. It is the state of being conscious, aware, and alive as human beings with deep compassion for the plight of others and a disdain for those who would deprive others of their dignity. And yet, we also understand that others can change if they choose. It is not for us to demonize anyone. It is not for us to condemn, curse, or pillage the property or the minds of those we oppose. It is us to come with a higher decorum and to understand that the other is also still a human being, even if we no longer have the same values. We're going to be joined in a few minutes by Richard Gale. And he and I today are starting a new movement. And the movement is based upon having a positive, constructive, can-do movement of making things better, of building a better future, not waiting for corporate America, not waiting for think tanks, not waiting for ideological reference points to guide us. We know the truth. We all know, all of you know the truth of how you should live. You do not need artificial intelligence, a transhumanist, or a so-called expert to tell you what is morally right and wrong, and how we can live more just and important lives to ourselves and others. We know it. We just haven't engaged it to the degree that we should have. So no longer being in the void. The new movement, starting today, is called Walk Progressive. So this is directly in relationship to and sympathetic to and harmonizing with Walk Away Movement. And now the internet is flooded with thousands of people who had stayed quiet coming forward to articulate their reasons why. Now, some of the people you're going to hear have no place to go is a movement, but they know where they don't want to be anymore. They were all liberal Democrats. They have all gotten away from that. One is staying neutral and will wait, as this person says. One is trying to forge reason in an unreasonable way, and another is looking at some of their historical conservative values, family values, and ethical values, what they grew up with, that they had gotten away from. It was no longer hip for them. So now we have, coming up on this program, four voices you're going to hear. And one, it's time that they actually came out and said it, because an awful lot of African Americans I've spoken with have believed this and have told me this. They were just afraid to say it. There are a lot of gays who I know. In the fact at the Tri-State Healing Center where I work with, and we treated, my home medical team treated 1,200 people with full-blown AIDS and HIV infection and got them back their health, 8 of whom were completely cured. The vast majority were African Americans. And hence the word never got out into the heterosexual community, because it could have completely changed the direction that everything on AIDS went. But a small group of AIDS activists captured the entire AIDS and gay community and took it off the side of a cliff. I estimate conservatively 300,000 gays died because of their advice. And they have been ruthless protagonists. And it's time that responsible gays, bringing real science, real healing, and real spiritual values, come in and take back the gay movement. We know those individuals. You're going to hear them on this program. And we are giving them a forum. We also believe it's time that those opportunistic African Americans who were speaking out more on their own self-interest than the interest of everyone else, that includes, I'm opposed to the Black Caucus and people who did nothing for the African American community or Latinos, that people that represent the real interests of minorities come forward, including Native Americans. We've had too many opportunists who've captured movements. The movement was legitimate. They were not. As a result, it did not benefit. You're going to hear them. So every week, you'll hear at least one guest talk about walking away from, because freedom takes two steps. Freedom from something that you no longer want to be attached to freedom for something you want to engage in. Two steps. Most people, most independents, took one step. They're in that void. And that's why Hillary didn't get elected. Hillary didn't get elected because of how many people the Democrats betrayed, how many promises they made and then broke, how many people they said, if you're black, give us your vote, we're for you, and then put them in prison and took away whatever welfare that some needed and could not live without, they'd be on the street. And Hillary didn't care. So finally we have one person who said, and you're going to hear this person, you could agree or disagree, but this person is measured in their thoughts, an African American, saying, the Democrats hate blacks. Harsh statement? Might be. This is what he says. And then Richard Gale and I will give you proof of it. Absolute, irrefutable, 100% proof that that is true.
What's going on,
now,
everybody?
Let us go to our first person. And this first person is the person responsible for starting this new movement. He deserves the credit. His name is Brandon Straka, Straka. And he says, in the 6-minute clip, why I left the Democratic Party.
Once upon a time, I was a liberal. Well, to be honest, less than a year ago, I was still a liberal. I became a liberal because I felt I'd found a tribe whose values align with my own. I staunchly reject racism of any kind. I reject the marginalization of any human being based off of their gender or sexual orientation. I reject tyrannical groupthink. I reject a system which allows an ambitious, misinformed, and dogmatic mob to suppress free speech, create false narratives, and apathetically steamroll over the truth. I reject the acceptance of junk science and superstition to advance ideological agendas. I reject hate. These are the reasons why I became a liberal. And these are the same reasons why I am now walking away. For years now, I have watched as the left has devolved into intolerant, inflexible, illogical, hateful, misguided, ill-informed, un-American, hypocritical, menacing, callous, ignorant, narrow-minded, and at times, blatantly fascistic behavior and rhetoric. Liberalism has been co-opted and absorbed by the very characteristics it claims to fight against. For years now, I've watched as people on the left have become anesthetized to their own prejudices and bigotry, and the prejudices and bigotry of those around them who echo their values. I have watched as formerly sensible people who claim to reject racism have come to embrace the principles of universally hating and blaming all of society's problems on all people who have white skin. I have witnessed the irony of advocacy for gender equality morph into blatant hatred and intolerance of men and masculinity. I have seen the once earnest fight for equality for the LGBT community mutate into an illogical demonization of heteronormativity and the push to vilify and attack our conventional concepts of gender. These same self-proclaimed victims of intolerance, now turning on the gay community that they attached themselves to advance their agenda, now calling gay people privileged and themselves victims of injustice. I have watched as the left has allowed themselves to become hypnotized by false narratives and conclusions perpetuated by social justice warriors who misrepresent and misconstrue facts, evidence, and events to confirm their own biases that everyone who does not comply with their prejudicial conclusions and follow their orders is a racist, a bigot, a Nazi, a white supremacist, homophobic, Islamophobic, xenophobic, misogynistic, and alt-right extremist. And I have watched as they have used these heartless and carelessly assigned labels to intimidate, threaten, bully, silence, attack, unemploy, blacklist, and destroy anybody who dares to fight back. They'll come for me, and then they'll come for you. And worst of all, the Democratic Party and the liberal media has embraced, affirmed, aided, and abetted this cult ideology. In an effort to gain voters and maintain power, the Democratic Party that I once loved has joined forces with the extremist left. The Democratic Party and the liberal media now believe their own ill-gotten conclusions and have ominously decided that they, and only they, know the remedy for society's ills. The left has decided that the solution to problems with race relations in America is more racism. The left believes that attacking, insulting, and dehumanizing one group of people elevates another. The left now believes that there are no boundaries when telling lies, omitting the truth, or misrepresenting facts when telling the news, because their end justifies their means. The left has now decided that its point of view is the only acceptable one, and that suppressing, censoring, and banning open dialogue and debate is virtuous and progressive. The Democratic Party has adopted a deleterious belief system, happily and without skepticism, separating people into groups based off of identity and then organizing them into camps of victims and oppressors. If you are a person of color, an LGBT person, a woman, or an American immigrant, the Democratic Party wants you to know that you are a victim and destined to stay that way. They will insist that you are a victim doomed to exist within a system that is rigged against you, that you are a victim of systemic oppression, that you are a victim of your circumstances, and that no amount of hard work or motivational action will ever allow you to overcome your victimhood or the privilege of those around you. This is perhaps the Democratic Party's greatest and most insidious lie. But if you are a minority in America today, the left-wing politicians and the liberal media don't want you to ever discover this lie. So they bombard us with stories designed to reinforce the narrative that you are in danger, that you cannot succeed. They manipulate your fears and concerns by telling you that you're disadvantaged, disempowered, and disposable to everyone except them. They will tell you that you need them. They will tell you that you are only safe under their supervision. They will promise to liberate you from all that chains you. And then they will do absolutely nothing for you. Once upon a time, I was a liberal. But liberalism has changed, and I will no longer be a part of an ideology or political party that represents everything that contradicts my values of unity, equal opportunity, personal empowerment, compassion, and love. So I am walking away. And I encourage all of you to do the same. Walk away.
And you've just listened to the person who just a few weeks ago began this The walk away was actually started, as Richard Yale will tell you, almost a year ago, but gaining this new momentum is this young millennial, Brandon Straka. He is gay, open, and like a lot of the gays in my audience. In fact, I did a lecture. I didn't even know there was a Gay Vegetarian Society. There was. It was standing room only, like 700 people. These are just healthy, happy, normal people. And yet, by today's standards, we would believe that everyone is a victim of something. And it's not the case, but they have masterly manipulated our thoughts. Let's now hear the second person here. The walkaway movement is huge, according to this person, and wants to tell his story.
The movement is taking the internet by storm. It's reached over 2 billion people, and is basically a bunch of people explaining their story, how they left the left, how they went from liberal or democratic to moving further right or just supporting President Donald Trump. It was started by a page called The Unsilent Majority, who is a gay former liberal who came out and explained why he considers himself now conservative and completely disgusted with the left wing. Millions of people feel just like him from every race, religion, sexual orientation, and ethnicity. But the news simply doesn't want to report on it. Most mainstream outlets, and certainly liberal-leaning outlets, just ignore this blatant reality that is further pushing and scaring millions of people like Brandon away. Here are a bunch of stories and accounts that you'll never see on the news. Voted for Bill Clinton, Al Gore, John Kerry, and Obama. My eyes were open once I found out the real frauds that the Democratic Party had become. None of them ever delivered any promises ever made, until Trump came along. The rest is history. I was a Democratic activist for 15 years, but the 2016 election opened my eyes. I don't recognize the party anymore. It is corrupt and hostile to independent thinkers. Its leaders are divisive and hypocritical. It advances no ideas or serious policy, just hostility. Walk away. She even provided pictures of her supporting and campaigning for John Kerry. As a woman, I am not a victim and lifelong Democrat for Trump. He is not a victim. This video will inspire many others to rethink what the Dem Party represents. I'm a non-affiliated voter, fiscally conservative, socially liberal. I never wanted to lean towards either party, but after 10 years of being called racist and now Nazi just for disagreeing, seeing the hate and division, I'll not vote Dem. They are ripping the USA apart. As a gay guy, nothing was more infuriating in 2016 than being told I should vote based on my sexuality, especially since my gay vote was owed to someone who supported two federal anti-gay laws and took millions from anti-gay despots. It was an easy choice to walk away from the Democrats. I'm a gay conservative, and I'm nobody's gimmick. I'm a free thinker who doesn't vote on one issue. Life is complex. I had less difficulty coming out as gay to some family than I did as a conservative to some liberal friends. Walk away. This sounds eerily similar to Caitlyn Jenner's experience, who once said, it was harder for her to come out as a Republican than it was as a transgender. Think about that. Think about the intolerance there that someone transgender is trying to tell you. I was a liberal who got all my news from late night comedians. I just assumed because I was gay, I had to vote Democrat. I voted for Obama his second term. I started off supporting Hillary. Then I actually started paying attention and informing myself. Voted for Trump in 2016. I abandoned the Democratic Party when I realized they had abandoned the inner cities. Walk away. I walk away from the left when it became clear they prefer to view people by victim hierarchy. It's amazing how quickly that tolerance falls away when said victim doesn't fall in line with the agenda. A woman can't want gun rights? Nay. Women can only want abortions. In 2016, when Hillary Clinton said she kept hot sauce in her bag and then threw a Jay-Z and Beyonce to entice black voters, I had to walk away. That moment put it all together for me, that the black community was being duped ideologically by Democrats and entertainers. MAGA. Zen Reflect. Walk away. I didn't walk away. They walked away from me. When it became all about telling other people how bad they are, rather than helping your fellow citizens, that's when I realized something had changed. I left the Democratic Party in my 20s after seeing what's been happening with the economy. My entire Polynesian family turned from blue to red, and I never looked back. Hey, I'm originally from South America, and I could tell you that my former country tried socialism and communism, and guess what? That crap doesn't work. It's all a con and a big fantasy. There are many others like me that have experienced Marxism, and we know how much it sucks. Being independent, I voted for Obama twice, but the left went too extremely far left for me. I refuse to be told how I should think. I have been a proud leftist my entire life. I can't be anymore. The silencing, the violent rhetoric, the moral panic, the fear-mongering, the demand for equal outcome, not just equal opportunity, the coercion of speech, the misleading, the flat-out lying, walk away. There are so many more accounts from celebrities, from people of all genders, races, religions, ethnicities. I can't include them all, but this is the reality that the news is not showing you. This is a large reason why everybody's so confused. How could this be happening? How could this be happening? Why is this happening? Well, mainly because a large bulk of the country that is growing and growing and growing and growing is not being represented on the television, in social media, or in mainstream publications. Personally, for me, my walkaway moment was when I saw how the system really worked at the core. I saw not only how they treated Bernie Sanders, but more importantly, how they treated Bernie Sanders supporters. They made no effort to talk to people, to communicate with them, to connect with them, to make people feel them and understand. It was just a bunch of hate, guilting, and flat-out biased media. I saw what was really going on, and that the late-night hosts, the comedians, the trusted news networks that everybody thinks are so trustworthy, liberal news outlets, feminist news outlets, social media sites, the featured news sections, were not only incredibly biased, incredibly misleading, incredibly hateful, and incredibly divisive, but I saw that truth and honesty was not their priority. I saw that pushing a narrative, pushing an agenda, and trying to be right, ego and stubbornness was really their number one priority. And they would push that ego and that stubbornness and that agenda and that narrative over anything, no matter who it affected, no matter who it lied to, no matter who it misled, no matter who it pushed aside, no matter who it hated. And I was disgusted. And since then, I've been running further and further away from this morally and ideologically bankrupt cult, who unfortunately still has millions caught in a brainstorm of confusion. I made this video not to point fingers and further divide, but to try to unite and bring us together and let people know this is the silent majority. This is a growing population. There is no way to step over, walk over.
As you'll hear from Richard Gale and myself, we should be walking away not just from the corruption and the lies and the ideological manipulation of the left, but equally from the right, equally from Trump. Trump and his administration and those Republicans, they are not pro-humanist. They are not pro-children. They are not pro-seniors. They are not pro... You may be pro-life. You're all for a child in its embryo, and then you absolutely allow that child to be manipulated and or forgotten once they are born. All of this is now coming to a head. We're asking people to walk away from both. A few will say they're now finding more interest in some aspects of conservatism. Well, look, there are parts of being a conservative and parts of being a liberal that are absolutely integral to living an authentic life. It is the politics. It is these narcissists and sociopaths. It is the bureaucracies that will do their bidding without thinking. There was this argument once that, don't worry, if the police in the United States become militarized, they have, and if they should start now to arrest people who have not actually committed crimes, they have. Look at search and seizure. They don't arrest you. They simply steal your money, or they barge into your house, even if you've committed no crime, or they're arresting you for minor offenses that shouldn't be an offense at all. Then their ethics, knowing that their children go to school with your kid, or they possibly even your neighborhood, that will stop them. Really? Didn't stop the Mao Zedong from destroying all the intellects, all the creative, all the scientists, all the true holders of sacred knowledge in China. 40 million people died. Didn't prevent Stalin and the Stalin's police, didn't prevent the German and the Gestapo and the German police. And it's never stopped the American police. I can take you back through all the strikes, where the strikers were striking for more humane work status, and the government and the police and the National Guard came out and shot and killed them. So if you're going to wait at a point in time where you hope that a person finds the understanding that what they're doing is wrong, you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's not going to happen. And so we have a system that is broken completely on both sides. And the Green Party is way too limited. Long ago, I personally told him, this is something I don't, there's no reason I should not tell you this, but I was asked, would I run against Chuck Schumer as a senator on the Green Party ticket? And I simply said, no, I can do much more as a journalist, independent journalist, and as a broadcaster, putting my energy into the issues that are important than I could, even if I had a chance of winning an election. But I said, you all are way too limited. Get out of this idea that the environment is the only thing that you should be focused on. And that's one of the reasons Jill Stein, Jill also very bright person and very qualified, but she didn't have the it factor. And we forget about how important that is, that someone can walk in a room and light it up. And you need those in your leaders. And so we're going to get to specific issues in a moment, but I want you to hear two more, at least short pieces of two more. And this one is, Democrats hate black people. I thought you'd find this interesting. Whether you agree or disagree with part or whole, listen to what he has to say.
What's going on, everybody? So I'm out at the pool watching my son swim around, and I think he thinks he's a fish, but I digress. But anyway, I wanted to make this video just to tell a quick, I guess, summary why I make the bold statement to say that the Democratic Party hate black people. And this is something that it took a while for me to realize, a while for me to understand. It took a little bit to chew on, kind of like a piece of steak. Steak is very difficult to chew and digest. But it was a piece of steak for me to chew and digest the fact that the Democratic Party historically has hated black people. Now, nowadays, people will argue that the Democratic Party hates America and hates everybody, and I would concur with that argument. But when you look at history and you look at the people that are being used, abused, and tricked and conned into supporting the Democratic Party, I have to say the race that's getting the raw end of the deal is black people. And the reason I say that is because for years and years and years, people have told us that we should vote Democrat, that the Republicans are racist, that the Republicans don't care about black people, that the Republicans are somehow anti African-American agenda, African-American expansion, prosperity. And it has all been a lie. It's unfortunate because a lot of us believe it blindly. You know, I consider myself a passive aggressive Democrat. I voted for Barack Obama his second term. If you would have asked me, was I a Democrat or a Republican my whole life, I'd have said a Democrat. And to be honest, until now, I don't even know why I would even say I was a Democrat. I didn't even know the difference between a Democrat and a Republican Party. If you would ask me what a conservative was, I wouldn't have known. This is the honest to God truth. And so the Democrats, in my honest opinion, based on my research, very impartial research, I believe that Democrats have historically hated black people. And I think they still hate black people today. Now, this is why I say this. It's not baseless, and it's not me coming up with something to make you feel good. I'm just telling the truth. And if you disagree with me, you could literally go look this stuff up for yourself and fact check me. First and foremost, I'm going to start with the Ku Klux Klan. I grew up believing that the Ku Klux Klan was probably Republicans because the Republicans are racist, right? The Ku Klux Klan definitely murdered, slaughtered, intimidated, and damaged the lives of so many black people. Who created the Democratic Party? Who founded the Democratic Party? I mean, the Democratic Party, but the Ku Klux Klan. The Democratic Party. That was astonishing to me. I could not believe it. And then when you talk about the ideas in the pursuit of the Democratic Party, even way back then, they were the white supremacists. They were the ones that wanted white nationalists or white nationalism. They are the ones that did not want black people to vote. They literally promoted and voted in favor of anti-laws and legislation that will give black people the benefit to vote and become equal citizens and desegregate from schools. Not one person can deny that. Those are facts. You may not like them. You may be eating steak right now, and it's going to take a little bit to digest, but those are facts. Then you go to Bill Clinton, and you talk about the war on drugs. Now, I'm all for promoting laws and being a law-abiding citizen, but they created a war on drugs that affected black people and put more black people behind bars and separated them from their families like no other legislation, no other program ever in history. That, to me, is a direct attack against African-American people in the black community. Go look it up. Let's keep moving to more contemporary history. I mean, we could look at Barack Obama. What did he do for black people? Nothing. He did nothing. We can look at the rhetoric that's pushed about anti-police rhetoric that was promoted by Barack Obama. What did that do for the black community? Nothing. See, they're not trying to tell young brothers to follow the law. They're not trying to tell young brothers how to best behave themselves and put themselves at a proper position when dealing with law enforcement, which could avoid 95 to 98% of them getting killed. They don't tell you to sign up for the police department and monitor your own communities. They're not telling you that. They're telling you to resist, which then makes you more volatile towards police, which then causes more interactions or more negative interactions with police. The residual effect of what Barack Obama did as in relation to police made matters worse. Not only for police, not only for black police officers, but for police officers in general. And what do you see happen when you ridicule and you demonize police? Well, they stop patrolling communities where they're going to get fired for just looking at somebody wrong. They're going to get fired if they make an illegal arrest and somebody just decides to resist arrest. So they quit patrolling the communities. And what do you do? The crime rate spikes. What did Barack Obama do for Chicago? Nothing. I don't know any legislation. I don't know any cry. Nobody was sitting out there crying about the separation of young people from their families in Chicago. Whether they get murdered or sent to prison or they high on drugs, nobody's crying about their children being separated from them. Nobody's trying to tell drug dealers to get out of jail free or get out of jail early so they can be reunited with their family. Committing felony crimes, just like people crossing the border. I don't hear them talking about that. They did nothing. Then we could talk about even right now. What are the Democrats doing? They're picking illegal immigrants over black people. Again, they don't need your vote. You can't do nothing for them. So they don't care about your families. They don't care about you being separated. They want the next voting block. And the next voting block is illegal immigrants. They don't even, to be honest, they don't even care about legal immigrants. They only care about illegal immigrants. Do your research. What are they doing? What did you see? What's the propaganda on TV? They literally, politicians are crying in the street, making a big deal about reuniting families. And see, they using illegals too. And if you're an illegal immigrant and you watching this, you need to beware because you next. What are they going to do to you next? They're going to use you until you vote for them, and then they're going to throw you away. Did you hear what Chuck Schumer said about illegals? Did you hear how Hillary Clinton was talking about illegals before President Trump became president? Barack Obama deported more illegal immigrants than any president in history combined. You next. They only crying at these facilities, the detention facilities, because they want your vote because it's close to midterms. And then once they're done with you, if President Trump is to be able to get DACA passed or whatever, and it'll just automatically...
That goes on for another 10 minutes. I wanted to give you just some of the voices. There are thousands of people coming on the Internet now saying, I'm walking away for this reason. We want people to walk away for the right reason, thinking through the reasons that they no longer want to support the Democrats or Republicans. Because I believe you should walk away from both. And now we have a new movement, #WalkProgressives. And because there are 100 million independents in the United States. Interesting, when people keep thinking, what can we do to help our sister station, WBAI, which I've been on for 42 years, and love the people, not the management, love the people, the audience, that's why I'm there. And but in 2004, when I was taken off the air in a coup, and they succeeded, brilliant coup, not for discussion today, but in time I'll talk to you about that. And so in any case, overnight, I mean literally overnight, 47% of the entire station's audience left. They walked away. And no one will acknowledge why people walk away. We don't like to look in a mirror if someone's walked away from us and ask, what am I not seeing that the others are seeing? Why would they walk away? And so people don't get the honesty that they need. We're going to be setting up we're even going to set up a program. If you want to apply to it, we're going to have rotating hosts it's both Walk Away and Walk Progressives. Walk Progressives. And every week there'll be 1 hour for people to tell their story, what they've learned, and what's the lesson in walking away, and what is the lesson for walking towards a greater truth that empowers them, does not disempower, honors life, doesn't try to desecrate life, gives you a sense that you can do things instead of making you feel like a perpetual victim. You can go to prn.fm at gmail.com. prnstudio@gmail.com. prnstudio@gmail.com if you'd like to apply. Now let's go over and say hello to Richard Gale. Hi, Richard.
Good afternoon, Gary. How are you?
Richard, take us, please, through some of the actual historically accurate ways that the Democrats have undermined the very values, the liberal values they have been espousing at least since the 1960s forward, and also the values that the Republicans we should walk away from, how they both manipulated and lied to their different groups.
Well, I think if we go back, even if we're looking at the 60s and all, we still felt that our vote, our support of certain of leaders, and back then I think we had a little more stronger feelings that our leaders were intellectual in some way, that they understood law, they understood everything about democracy. We had more faith in them back then, right or wrong, and what the issues were that they took, and that's eroded so much today. We've spoken over the years of this program how it's a charade to think that the U.S. is a democracy anymore. We've done many programs on that concerning voter fraud and just the vested interests of the banks, of private corporations, of Monsanto, the pharmaceutical industry, insurance industries, fossil fuel industries, and the whole K Street in Washington of lobbyists who have usurped and taken over so much of the government, of everything going on in Washington today. And it goes back to that kind of old ideal that's used in science so much of paradigm shifts. We tend to think of it only in terms of science, but no, there's whenever a ruling entity, in this case both the Democrats and the Republicans, have become so entrenched in a belief system that has been walled off from what the real needs are, because in order to keep that belief system fed, and it has to rely on its food source, and that's been private elite oligarchic interests. And so that's where we're at right now, and that's, I think, one of the reasons why it's become so sclerosed, and everything that both parties say dismally fails, as well as being inaccurate and playing the political mind game. We're going to have a guest on next week who's going to really discuss and really share how the political mind game operates by both parties. So that's one. But when we go back and we look at just what the guests have been saying, or the people you were playing their tapes of, concerning the liberals, yes, both we've had prison-loving presidents, both Obama and Clinton. The number of people that were serving life sentences, the numbers in prison, what we're about 2.4 million today. On the right here, they want to save every fetus, but then if that fetus happens to grow up and commits a criminal offense, they're going to be happy to put that grown-up fetus to death in an electric chair. So the level of hypocrisy that pervades both of these parties is just enormous. And quite frankly, they're just not with the times. They're not with what's going on in the world anymore. These are both huge bureaucratic citadels that waste so much of our tax dollars and do not provide any policies or putting forth any policies that are going to help the average citizen just to keep their campaigns alive. Both parties are responsible for a complete erosion of civil rights today, as the first guest was talking about, concerning the liberals turning their back on and Democrats turning their back on LGBT and other minority groups. And under the GOP, human liberties and freedoms are always being framed as personal public interest, but in reality, these are only the freedoms for corporate interests and industries and the elite. That's what the Republican Party has become after FDR. Because FDR was the one who really kind of returned to that social public contract. I think one of my bigger concerns in looking at a lot of this movement is we want to avoid mob rule at all costs. At the same time, we don't need a Pol Pot, although Trump may be an incarnation of that in some ways, where it's just the peasants and a mob rule, nor like the French Revolution. There needs to be a little greater respect in our choice and our discernment for intellectuals in our society, as Henry Giroux has repeated so often on our program, and we have really great minds, Cornel West and Henry Giroux himself, Danny Sheehan, and others who we bring on this program, who can kind of put things into a contextual framework, and we do need that kind of leadership as well. We can't have we can't govern ourselves without some kind of a leadership, and I think it's the anti-intellectualism that's pervading this country, which has brought people on like Trump, and even those who wanted to support Hillary. Hillary is an is not particularly great intellectual either. So, we could run through a whole list of all the different failures of both parties. We've also been speaking about this for a decade since I came on this program. So, I don't know where else you want to go with this.
I just want to hit a few points, because over the next few days, I'm going to be sharing very specific, and I'll articulate how the Republicans and Democrats separately and together have betrayed the Americans. Let me just give you a few examples before we end our program today, just on the economy, which affects everyone, especially working class people. The Democrats or the liberals have not challenged NAFTA, CAFTA, and other trade agreements that Clinton put into effect. They have not attempted to repeal the Glass-Steagall Act, which allowed casino capitalism to exist. They largely are responsible for the TARP bailout, $21 trillion total, and not a penny to the average person or the small business person losing their business. As a result, the two big defails that caused our problem were all protected, and by executive order, President Obama could have put a curtailment and a moratorium on bank foreclosures and then brought all those banks in and read them the Riot Act. They're not getting any bailout themselves unless they put a moratorium and allow people to live in their homes, not give them any more interest rates, and so they can afford to live there. Let them pay 15% of their income. We wouldn't have had a single home foreclosed on. But this so-called good liberal didn't do that. 7 million Americans lost their homes. Also, the liberals failed to introduce legislation to bring about single-payer health care, and yet they all said they would, Clinton, Obama, and they didn't. You know, and there was a minimal effort to pass legislation to break up the big banks, but it was only a token effort. There was no concerted effort to tackle the human rights issues behind commodity trading, meaning there were people sitting in offices in the United States and other countries, in Dubai, in Saudi Arabia, that were manipulating the price of oil where they had plenty of food, and as a result, the price of gasoline went up. They privatized water, which should be a human right. But Nestle's believes that water should not be a human right. It should be whoever can buy it has the right to sell it. And both the Democrats and Republicans under Bush, under Obama, under Clinton, all agreed in the free market that whatever you can afford to buy, then charge someone else you make a big profit. Instead of looking at certain things, it's just you should not be able to prevent people from drinking clean, healthy water for free and having food, and yet they did. They also allowed all lobbying at all levels to continue and increased unabated. And they enabled conservative deregulation policies for a long time. It started with Clinton, by the way. Actually, it started with Ronald Reagan. They also, monopolistic practices are now going on to consolidate power and into monolistic cartels without adversaries. And that's just on the economy part. And so as a result today, instead of asking corporations, look, if you're making all these billions of dollars in profits, why don't, instead of giving all of it to yourselves and buying back stock, your treasury stock, to increase the value of your stock and to shareholders, why don't you also give everyone a living wage? Not a minimum wage, a living wage. It would take less than 3% of your profit to do that to your own employees, but then they would have more money. They would not be in debt. And then one person could work and one could stay home and raise the children if that's what they chose. And you could have more money to spend in the economy. Not a single company wanted to do that. They want to make more money, and none of these administrations brought that to their attention. That's just one consequence of having the wrong people in power at the wrong time, and we the people suffer a consequence. So if you think any Democrat or Republican elected to any office is going to change that, you unfortunately have not realized that it's not green tea, it's Kool-Aid that you're drinking. So we have a new movement. It is called Walk Progressive. Not with an S, singular. Walk Progressive, hashtag Walk Progressive. You're going to see articles. You're going to see documentaries. You're going to see thousands of people, because we're going to set it up to, we will screen, of course, to make it sure that the people are not, you know, provocateurs or just agitators, but rather people to empower others with their stories. And that's going to be going on as of today. So we will have a lot of guests. We're going to have, in fact, we even have Danny Sheehan coming on and two professors of constitutional law. You'll have three different minds explaining what was the real intent of the people who passed the Articles of Confederation and the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. What was their actual intent? And this is going to be in a way you have never heard it before. That's progressive. Where Democrat or Republican would have taken their talking points from their historical reference, and you'd learn nothing new. I can assure you, you're going to learn a lot new starting tomorrow on this program. Thank you all for listening today. It's the beginning of a new movement, and there are hundreds of millions of people worldwide who will be participating. We are the silent majority, and now we're finding our voice collectively. Hashtag Walk Progressive. Have a nice day, everyone. Adam.